Well, we're into a new year. I don't know what is it that you are looking forward to. But I just want to share with you a few things that I found that I believe not just will speak to you, but will speak to me too. Because I believe that there is some things in store for 2019. And I believe some of those things that are in store, we're going to need to create. You say, how in the world are we going to do that, Pastor Ron? We're going to create those things. You see, we were made after the image of God. And right from the very beginning, what happened? God said, He spoke some things into existence. And in all that creation, God made mankind. And this He said about mankind. It was the only time that He said, and this was very good. When you and I were thought of, when creation was begun, God looked at you. God looked at you. Well, I can't be very good. All the things that go on in my life, man, I don't know that I'm a really good person. I want to talk to you about creating like our Heavenly Father created. Created by the words, things created in 2019 by our very words. I want to talk about that just for a few moments this morning. What? Well, I can put it like this. Are you a world creator?
You go, oh, dear Pastor Ron, I can't be a world creator.
Yes, you are. You are like your Heavenly Father. You know that there are some traits that my sons are like me? And I go, oh, dear. And there are some things that are like my wife. And I go, oh, dear. And I went, well, how can this be? But when we're born, we can't help it. We are created. And the Bible says that we are created in the image of God. Talks about that. But we don't like to see ourselves as created in the image of God. We don't see ourselves as being very creative, especially with our words. Great question for you to consider. What world are you creating with your words? I'm not talking about faking it till you make it. I'm talking about creating worlds with your words. You see, your words carry more weight than the weight you carry. And they have more staying power than you can ever imagine. In fact, your words, whether you realize or not, get amplified and magnified. Our words create worlds. Our words create worlds. You say, well, is that thought in the Bible? Well, the scripture says it this way in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. The tongue has the power of life and death. New Living Translation says it like this. You can see it on the screen. The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Now, doesn't that sound like creating worlds? Huh. Every single one of us could give testimony to the truthfulness of those words in Proverbs 18. We can go back in our minds to the teacher, to the coach, to the grandparent or parent who spoke into our life, giving words to us. We can remember how much wind was put in our sails when they said those words to us. I believe in you. We can also go back into our minds to remember those hurtful and attacking words that scarred us. And even though it may have been years ago, we can remember it probably, still feel the emotion of it like it was yesterday. The words in our past echo in our present, and they continue to shape our lives. Words have incredible power. That's even more true if you're a pastor, a leader, a parent, grandparent. Your words carry more weight than you can ever imagine. Like I said, they get amplified and magnified, especially if you keep dwelling on it. Through the years, I've been amazed at how many people have come up and they've thanked us for something we said to them that impacted their lives. And I guess the scary part of that is I don't even remember it saying to them. Whether it was an inmate, somebody from the city, somebody we saw in a restaurant, I don't remember. But it was interesting how every now and again, this is one of the reasons why I want to spend a little bit of time today talking from the book of Proverbs to show us and remind us how we can steward the power of our words. You see, words can bless people. We need to be experts in speaking life, life-giving words. Let's be honest. It's tough in this world. We do not live in a world that's full of grace and filled with love. And in this world, you get what you pay for, like somebody says. There's no free lunch, no cutting in line. It's an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You'll hear it all the time. But we get the privilege of speaking life and blessing and hope and encouragement into the lives of those around us. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24 says, Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy to all and healthy for the body. To me, that's great news. It doesn't cost you a dime. You know, it's not something we have to add to the church budget. This isn't about spiritual gifts or personality. It is about sensitivity, love, and kindness. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25, it says, "Worry weighs a person down, and an encouraging word cheers a person up." Praise the Lord. I remember those times when I was going through a particularly tough season in my life. And you hear the transformation stories of an inmate or a person who has been helped. Basketball player. My goodness. I got to tell you. I used to go into the youth center, and I'll tell you, it was a fight to get there. It was like a war every time. And sometimes I would even say to myself, "Why are you doing this?" And all of a sudden, a staff member, an inmate, would have something and we'd be able to share with them. And when I come out, I'm flying. Because I realize I've just been obedient to God in spite of the way I felt. I got a thrill every time I'd listen to my own dad talk about the boys who he encountered that came to Boys Crusaders. Did you have Crusaders here? I think you did, years and years ago. My good boys and girls program. My goodness. My dad would tell us who he encountered. And he would give me the fellow's name and of the lad that would talk about the prayer request that was answered and the need that was met in his family. And years and years later, my dad says, and he'd find out that they were going to a particular church, were doing so well, not just them, but their family. You know, God sends letters, He sends emails, He sends pictures at just the right time. He sends words to pick us up. Praise God. All because someone took the time to speak life-giving words. I think that's what the Father modeled for us at the baptism of Jesus. That the Father speaks with an audible voice out of heaven. And he says in Matthew 3:17, "This is my dearly loved Son who brings great joy." He was speaking some words that were should pick up some folks. Let them recognize who his Son was. Glory to God. God thought it was important to speak blessing on his perfect, sinless Son. How much more important it is for us to speak life into those who are broken, those who are sinful, and those who are filled with shame. You know, the biggest enemy of blessing people with your words is not the meanness, it's not the selfishness. The biggest enemy of blessing people is hurry. We just need to slow down and speak blessing into someone's life. I've learned that, and I have to work on this every day, believe me. You know, in a baseball game, the difference between a good pitcher and a great pitcher, the difference between a good pitcher and a great pitcher is delivery. I get it. There are some that use steroids, but that's not where I'm going. There, it's the delivery that's important for that pitcher. To use another example, the most important part of any airplane flight is the landing. And just before the airplane lands, they will talk about the approach. The approach is critical for a successful landing. And our approach with words is critical to the success of relationships. That's what we're trying to build here at Bethel, is relationships. Proverbs 18, verse 20 says, "Words satisfies the soul as food satisfies the stomach." Anybody like to eat? I see that hand. You realize preachers don't make good lifeguards? I see that hand. Is there another? Words satisfies the soul as food satisfies the stomach. Right words on a person's lips bring satisfaction. It's the right words that bring satisfaction. And it's not just the right words, it's also the right delivery of the right words. That's the point Solomon is making in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 15. Patience can persuade a prince, and soft speech can crush strong opposition. Wow. That means we need to learn to use soft words. Sometimes that doesn't mean that you can't have a hard conversation. It just means taking time to think ahead, not just of what you want to say, but how you want to say it. You can be clear and be soft. In my life, the biggest roadblock to soft words, I'm going to say it like this, is an empty soul. Those times when I'm running on fumes, when I haven't slept very well, those are the times when my words can get cutting, not kind. When I'm leading on empty, my words are often critical. They are not soft. Today, we can steward our words well. It's not just what you say, but it's how you say it. Because your words matter. Huh. Sometimes we have to be like a spiritual bomb squad. A bomb squad is a group of people who are skilled and trained in diffusing a potentially devastating explosion. We've all been in those situations when somebody lobbed a verbal hand grenade into a conversation. And in that moment, we can decide whether we will diffuse or detonate. Diffuse or detonate. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1 says, a gentle answer deflects anger or diffuse. Deflects it or diffuse. But harsh words make tempers flare. It detonates. The older we get, the more mature we get, I think, and the softer we should be, the more gentle our words should be. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 5, Paul says, let your gentleness be evident to all. Or the NLT puts it like this, let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord's coming soon. Let's say a man is having a fight with his wife. Now, I know that never happens to anybody here at Bethel. But let's say a man's having a fight with his wife. And let's say that this guy likes numbers and facts. Like most guys, he's really only operating only half his brain at one time. Did I say that? Studies actually show, psychologists will say, that men, we work with half of our brain at one time. Ladies, they go back and forth quickly. So this guy, he analyzes the data and he analyzes the facts. So when he says something, his wife says, you hurt me. You didn't value me at all. And I suppose the man would start presenting her with facts. He would probably start building a case as to why she shouldn't feel that hurt. The man focuses on rightness, maybe, rather than responding with love and gentleness, sensitive to his wife. At those moments, whether in a marriage or in our relationships, in our church, we need to stop building our case and start building a bridge. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18, it says, some people make cutting remarks. They detonate. They make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. They diffuse. All of us have areas we need to grow. We have all rough edges and broken places from our past. Every single one of us have blind spots. Yet God uses people and their words in our lives to shine a light on those blind spots and to smooth some rough edges. And if I'm going to become like Jesus, we will need a handful of people in our life that will tell us exactly what we need to hear, not what we want to hear. I need people like that who love me enough to tell me the hard truth. I don't need a whole lot of those people. In fact, a young lady was talking to John Wesley, a wonderful preacher of the past, one day, and she said, Brother John, I think I know what my talent is. What is it, he said. I think my talent is speaking my mind. And John replied, I don't think God would mind if you buried that talent. I'm not talking about a person in our life who is a verbal wrecking ball. I'm talking about somebody that you are open to be corrected, a friend who authentically loves you. It takes courage to really open up to correction and accountability. And it's absolutely necessary for our growth and development. But you know what? There are times that we're just going to need to know when to shut up and not talk about it with anybody else, especially if there's a confidence that have somebody spoken something in confidence to us. Being able to create worlds is going to mean that if somebody speaks to me, I don't necessarily have to tell anybody else. I love them. My family is like any other family. They have their disagreements. But every time we get together, we're always hugging. I told you that. We're always hugging. But there have been times throughout the years that we have said some... Well, I'll give you an example. I have three sisters, no brothers, three sisters. My oldest sister lives out in Abbotsford. And I have two sisters that are younger than I, about a year younger, and they're twins. And one of my sisters, the twins are not identical, not identical. They're very different. One's very slim and the other is very... I said to the very large one, now you're not going to like this, and if I offend you, I'm not trying to. But I said to my sister, you're getting to be whale size. I know. I saw them all. But my sister, she looked at me and she said, that's harsh. I says, yes, but I love you. And you know that. I could talk with my sister, this particular sister. We have a very wonderful relationship. And my sister got on a Jenny Craig. She got on a Jenny Craig diet plan. And she lost about 150 pounds. She doesn't look the same. That's what my sister needed at that moment. It was harsh. I get it. I don't speak that way normally. But she was my sister and I loved her. And I knew that because of her size, I needed to speak something that was going to help her. Proverbs 27 verse 5 says, an open rebuke is better than hidden love. Wounds from a sincere friend is better than many kisses from an enemy. Proverbs uses throughout its writings the word rebuke several times, and it's virtually every instance when it talks about the word rebuke, it's seen as a gift. Can you imagine? It's seen as a gift. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 17 says, people who accept discipline are on the pathway to life. But those who ignore correction will go astray. It's an important question that every one of us needs to answer. Wow. Just like that, I got a note from my son, my oldest son. Right now. That's what the ding was. I love you, Dad. That's awesome. I love it when my son sends me those messages. I love you, Dad. And you know what? I love my son too. But I need to show my love to my son. And my son demonstrates his love. In fact, God demonstrates his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, he sent his son to die for me. He just didn't say, I love you. Yet the scripture says, the Lord disciplines those he loves. Oh, I had to discipline my son quite a lot. But I'll tell you what, I loved him. It's like the lady, this actually happened. My dad tells a story. They were in church and there was this little guy and he was sitting beside his mom and he was acting up terrible. And mom says to him, if you don't smarten up, I'm taking you out, giving you whip. You don't hear much of that talk too much today. I'm going to get you a whipping. He kept on, that little guy kept on. My dad, the next thing it was, this lady, she's a rather large lady, she had her son right underneath her arm, and he was marching out, and the little guy says, "Pray for me, folks, she's going to kill me." Oh, my. Sometimes we just don't need to speak, and sometimes we do. Solomon makes it clear and gives practical advice. He said, Proverbs 10, verse 19 says, "Too much talk leads to sin, but sensible." And keep your mouth shut. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. Proverbs chapter 17, 28 says, "Even fools are thought wise when they keep silent. With their mouths shut, they seem intelligent." Now, if we want people to think we're smart, maybe the best thing for us is to keep our mouth shut and to speak those words that create and bless. According to Solomon, you and I can raise our IQ 10 points just by not saying a word. Proverbs chapter 15, 28 says, "The heart of the godly thinks carefully before speaking. The mouth of the wicked overflows." The mouth of the wicked overflows with evil words. You know, there might be something that we said this morning that would help us in our relationships, in our home, in our church. But you know, what if I asked your spouse or your kids or people you work with, which one of those things that I talked about already that we need to work on? In Proverbs 19, verse 14, it says, David says, "May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock, my redeemer." I know it's a new day. I know it's a new year. And it's time to move forward. I used to say to my kids all the time, because they're stuck. Some of them are just stuck in their stuff, in their addictions, and in their problems. They're incarcerated. And I used to say to them, make the best of the best that you can in the place that you are. It's a new day. And the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different result. Maybe in our relationships, we need to take a new direction, a new thinking process, and start creating worlds for people that are around us. Why not use words that create a different world, not just for yourself, but for those around you? I know, I get it. We can't help but looking backward. But look up instead. Even with all the joys of the holidays, it's hard not to focus on the regrets, on the failures and the sin. You say, "I just can't seem to get it together. I can't find work. I just can't get over the abuse. I will always be an addict." I know that person will never forgive me. But yet, the Lord Jesus died for us while we were in our stuff. And let me say this. If you are in Christ, you are not your past. You are not your mistakes. You are not your parents. You are not your pain. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are forgiven. You are God's son. You are God's daughter. You are accepted in Him. You are cleansed. Hallelujah. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Glory to God. few weeks ago, I shared with you the verse out of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. That means we are free with our words to create new worlds for people around us. You are not who you were. I know many problems that plague many Christians begins with their identity. But you need to remember that you are chosen, you are purchased, and commissioned children of God. And you need to see through the lens of God, praise God, in order that you might help be a blessing to those who are around you. Creating a different world for yourself and creating a different world for those that are around about you by simply the things that you speak. The Bible talks about building up. We've talked about in the past already how Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against it. Praise God. And that building, if we walk as Jesus walked, we will create worlds. In fact, in Him, He was in the beginning. The same was in the beginning. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of man. What did He do? You know what? He never criticized the government. He never once told his boys, you need to do something about those Roman boys. And he never. He just said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. He never condemned the leader, the ruler, for his sin or the things that he was doing. He never. He never condemned them. He didn't even condemn the lady that was brought to him in an act of adultery. Wow. I think at Bethel, we can do things different this new year. And we can begin to speak life into our community. Not just pray for it, but we can speak life. You might see some things that are wrong. I will never forget my dad. My dad was taught that, and my dad was a board member for years, and my dad taught me this. He said if somebody would come to him, and he would say, well, let's pray about it first. First thing he would do, let's pray about it with him. The next thing he'd go, he said, let's you and I go and talk to them. And I thought, that's big. That's big. And my dad, he's just straightforward with God. He just, I mentioned the fact of, you know, we wanted to sell our house, of course, but the day that we knew that it was selling, I called up my dad and my mom. My dad says, we are praying for you this morning. And he said, Lord, you know that that house needs to be sold. You know that house needs to be sold. And, well, needs to be sold before Christmas. Thank you. What was he doing? He was creating worlds. He wasn't creating his own world. He was creating a world for us. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. Speaking life into situations. Wow. Jesus was constantly doing that. And you can do that too. That's the reason why we sang that song. And I would like to close with that song. In fact, I'm going to sing this song as a prayer for us all. This is what I want to do for 2019, is to be pleasing to the Lord. and to be obedient to the Lord. And if I can do those things, 2019 can be a year of blessing. Glory to God. I'm going to sing again.
May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart bless your name, Jesus. And the deeds of the day and the truth in my ways speak of you, Jesus. This is what I'm glad to do. It's time to live a life of love that pleases you. And I will give my all to you. Surrender everything I have and follow you.
Stand with me, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We ask, Lord, that your word would be lodged and settled in us in Jesus' name. And that we look forward to this year, the pathway that you have for us. I ask, Lord, that you would help us and guide us and strengthen us and empower us to do things in a little different way according to your word and purpose and plan for us. Ask, Lord, you be with the folks as they go and bless them and they're going out and coming in and rising up and sitting down. And that the light of your countenance would rest upon them. Bring them into areas of, yes, prosperity, but even more peace that surpasses the comprehension of those that are around us. And thank you, Lord, for the power that you've put in us. We can create a different atmosphere around those that are around us. In Jesus' powerful and wonderful name, amen.